So we've come to the end of our series on 1 Peter. We've been looking at 1 Peter for the last 8 Sundays. I think it's 8 Sundays. And it's been we've gone through the whole letter. We're on the final chapter now, chapter 5. It's really good when you read through a letter in its entirety and rather than just take a snippet. It's really good to do that. And as I said, we've been looking at how to live as Christians through that letter. We've been using it to teach us how to live as Christians. And today it's the last Sunday and we're looking at Christian responsibility. I recently fitted some new pannier racks on my motorbike. Hopefully there's a slide coming up. And for anyone who doesn't know about motorbikes, you can obviously, you know what panniers are, you push bikes, motorbikes, all the same thing. Panniers are the side cases here. And I recently put some new, the luggage rack, which is the metal rack on the first picture, I put that on my bike because I've been carrying soft luggage for some time, which is like throw over canvas bags that you put over. And they're a bit of a pain because you have to put all the straps on and all that kind of thing, and you get chain lube all over your hands, which motorbike chain lube is not easy to get off, etc., etc., etc. They're a bit of a pain. So I decided, do you know what? It's been long enough now. I'm going to get some proper hard cases. So I put the racks on, and we've got the hard cases, which is great. But obviously, whenever you're fitting anything to a motorbike, you want to make sure that it's done properly. You don't want to be cutting shortcuts and taking risks on a motorbike when you're fitting things, because if you do, when you're traveling at motorway speeds and some, you don't want things to go pear-shaped, otherwise it might sting a little bit. So you have to, even when I was doing that, you have to follow the instruction manual. So I followed the instruction manual to the letter of the law. And this letter that Peter writes to us, is a little bit like that. It's a little bit like an instruction manual that teaches us how to live as a Christian and tells us what and how we should be doing things. So the first thing that Peter does in this fifth chapter is to introduce us to the people who are responsible for our well-being on that Christian journey, on our path. Those are the ones who are going to watch over us and protect us. These are the ones who are trained to keep us safe when life gets tough on our Christian path. Who are these people? Well, in the passage that Sonia just read to us, they're called elders. They're the elders of the church. They're the leaders of the church. Those who are in positions of authority, those who are in positions of leadership. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 3, it says these words, "To the elders among you, to the leaders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed." It says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who are entrusted to you, but being good examples to the flock." Within the Church of England, which is what we are, we have bishops, we have priests, and we have deacons, those who are ordained in positions of leadership and those who are appointed as overseers. And it's our job to be servants and to set a Christian example for those who are in our flock. We are called to be shepherds of God's flock. I read this story as I was preparing for this sermon. I read a story of a man who was on a plane in California, and the plane had been delayed for some time, and it was in Sacramento. The air stewardess explained that there was going to be a 45 minutes to an hour delay, and that if the passengers wanted to get off, there was a holding area where they could go to stretch their legs, and they would be called to reboard again in 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so. Everybody got off the plane except one man who was blind, and his guide dog lay quietly underneath the seats. He'd flown on this plane several times because the pilot approached him and he called him by name. He knew him. And he said, "Keith, we're in Sacramento for just under an hour. Would you like to get off and stretch your legs? One of the stewardesses will help you." Keith replied, "No thanks, but maybe my dog would like to stretch his legs." So the pilot got off the plane to walk the guide dog. Now picture this. All the people who are in the holding area stopped dead in their tracks as their focus turned onto the pilot as he walked off the plane with a guide dog. And to top it all off, he was wearing dark sunglasses as well. So when the people saw him, they all scattered. They didn't want to get back on that plane. So they even, apparently, a number of passengers tried to change their airline tickets to a different airline. Why? Why did they react that way? Why were they scared? Why did they run away? Because they thought that the pilot was obviously blind, and they had no desire to trust their lives into the hands of a man who couldn't see properly to fly the plane. Leaders in the church are called to lead the congregation. And as Jesus himself noted, you don't want the blind leading the blind. Otherwise, we'd all fall into the pit together. He goes on to say, those who don't know the scriptures, those who don't know their Bibles, those who don't have the backbone to stand up for their faith, those who don't live out their faith with a passion are blind. They've got no business, it says, flying God's plane filled with God's people. Now, within our congregations, we've got loads of great examples, people who are great examples of what it means to live a Christian life. Men and women who humble themselves and serve God with a really willing heart, who show their Christian faith by their actions on a daily basis. These are the Christian witnesses that we should look to. These are the Christian witnesses that we should follow. Follow their lead. And then Peter goes on to say these words, likewise, you younger people. Now, don't read into that younger in age. Don't read young in age. Don't think about age. You younger people is referring to those who are young in the faith, those who are new Christians, immature Christians maybe. It says, you younger people, submit to your elders. Now remember, the word elders doesn't mean those who are older than us. As we heard earlier in the letter, elders is the leaders of the church, those who are more mature in the faith. It says the younger people, those who are new to the faith, submit to those who are more mature in the faith. Yes, all of you, he says, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you know when you go out for a meal, one of the really nice things when you go out for a meal to a restaurant is not having to cook for yourself, isn't it? And obviously, those who know me will know that I do all the cooking in our house. And so, Nicola's there, what? I don't. I don't really do any cooking, I'm afraid to say. It's not that I can't, it's just that I just find it very difficult to get past Nicola in the kitchen. She's always in there. There you go. Anyway, when you go out for a meal, one of the lovely things is actually being waited on, isn't it, when people come and serve and they wait on you. And but some people, you'll have seen this for yourself when you go to a restaurant, some people just take the mickey, don't they? And they're really not very nice to the waiter or the waitress. In fact, they're rude. And they expect the waiter or the waitress to bend over backwards and to go running back and forth and do all kinds of things. They treat them in really not a nice way. And they expect to get things as they want it, so that the waiter or the waitress will provide for their needs and their wants. Now, sadly, that is how some people do church. They come to the church building, they sit in the pews, and they expect to be served, to come and to get out of it what they want, to do church in their way and only their way. So you might see a number of people slumping down in their seats saying, I don't like this song. I don't like the words of this song. I don't like this style of music. It's not what I like, and I'm not going to take part in it. Or some people might be looking a little bit bored and maybe start to look at the wrists and say, how long is this, has my watch stopped? How long is this vicar going to preach for? It seems to be going on and on. Or some people might say, this vicar's sermon is so boring. In fact, it's always boring. It doesn't speak to me at all. And I'm fed up to the back teeth of it. All these kind of things you might hear at various churches. I'm not saying that happens here, but you might get various churches where you do pick up on those little things, those little negative thoughts that come out. Why? Because people want church in their way, they want to be served in their way and not to serve. And whether it's being offended at music or being offended at the boring vicar's sermon or how long the vicar is going to preach for, or even maybe that the church isn't what it used to be, it's different. I'm going to suggest that they've lost their view of what church is all about. Because actually, church is about serving. First of all, serving God and serving one another. It's not about us being served or waited on. It's about us doing the serving. Peter writes, "All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." What he's saying is that we are to be servants of one another. And there's an important reason why. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 is a tough verse to read. And it says this, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." It's not easy reading, is it? One of the best things that I have the privilege of doing in my job is to visit people in their homes. And so often when I visit someone at home, they spend their time telling me about things that are happening in their lives. And, you know, sadly, there's so many people who are going through difficult times, whether that's family situations, work situations, tough things that are happening. And there are people sat here today who are hurting, and there are people who need the support of their church family. They need us to gather around and they need us to pray for them. That's what it's about, being a church. Granted, it's the job of the church leader to do that, but we are all members of the church. I can't be everywhere. It's down to each of us to play our part and to be the church together. We're in this together because that's what the church is. We are the church. Not this. This is a building. We are the church. It's the people. And church is about submitting and serving one another. That's what it should be about. And we should be interested in each other's lives. And we should want to care for each other. Peter goes on to say, "Cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and be alert because your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him." He goes on to say, "Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And the God of all grace," he says, "who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." You know, some people say they're Christians, and yet they never go to church. In fact, they might attend occasionally, just for the few sort of big services, the Easter's, the Christmas. I just don't get that. You see, the church is a place where God wants us to be so that we can be sheltered from the struggles of this world, where we can be protected, where we can be nurtured by other more mature Christians who know us and care for us and want what's best for us, and where we can learn from more mature Christians, and where we can also learn what it looks like to serve by being with one another. God is desperate for us to grow in our faith, to grow through our shared experience and our shared worship, or through sharing fellowship together. God is desperate for us to do that. That's doing life together. That's what it's about. And he wants us to be united, and he wants us to be strong as a team, because you can't do that on your own. So to finish, the thrust of it is, we absolutely need each other in this church family. We need strong leaders within our church, which we need throughout the Church of England and all its hierarchy. We need the people who are seated around us on a Sunday. We need each other to handle the daily struggles that life will throw at us. If we look around, everyone sat in these pews is our brother and sister. If you read scripture, it says we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are united through Christ, and we are brothers and sisters together. What do family do? They look out for each other. They're interested in each other, and they share life together. That's exactly what we should be doing. I wonder, are we playing our part in the church family? I'm going to pray and then maybe do something after that. Let's just pray together. Lord, as we finish this series on 1 Peter, it's an amazing letter, Lord, that has so much depth and so much to teach us as to how to live a Christian life. And Lord, we read today that it's all about serving. It's all about humility, and it's all about grace. Lord, help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to serve you first and foremost, and then through that, through your grace, to serve one another. And Lord, show us what that might look like in our daily lives. And this we pray in your name. Amen.